President Wenthy, members of the Board of Regents, faculty, staff, family, friends, students, and most of all, graduates. This is the day the church has been waiting for. Actually, it's one of several days. On the day you matriculated to Concordia Theological Seminary, the church rejoiced. On the day you received your first call, the church rejoiced, and so did the members of the congregation when they learned that God had given to them a new pastor. And finally today, the church rejoices as the seminary acknowledges the completion of all the necessary requirements for an advanced degree in theology. I suspect that most of you are rejoicing also today. After all, no longer do you have to endure the friendly harangues of Dr. Scare. And no more 10-question quizzes from Professor Marquardt, or those hour-long marathons that Dr. Weinrich also called quizzes. If you haven't yet, you'll soon say your final goodbyes to your friends in the business office. You'll make your final visit to the food co-op, perhaps leave some clothes that don't fit anymore at the clothing co-op, and wave a final goodbye to Luther as you leave the campus. Of course, unless you go out the back way, which you can thank the present administration for keeping open. Most of you, I'm sure, can't wait to get on with the exciting future that God has planned and prepared for you. One thing is certain, life is never going to be the same again. There are some in our synod who would just love to be up here and stand and say to you that you finally get to leave this ivory tower and get into the real world. I don't find that dichotomy particularly helpful, however. In many ways, you can't compare the seminary to a parish, and you shouldn't. The seminary is still the most effective and efficient way of preparing men to be pastors. Where else does one have the opportunity for daily immersion in theological studies under the guidance of the church's finest theologians? And where else does one have the opportunity to be gathered together for daily prayer in such an appropriate setting as this? To borrow an image from last Sunday's gospel, you're leaving the school where shepherds are trained and entering the grazing fields of the sheep. In one sense, those are two very different worlds. Concerning the message you proclaim, it will be no different than what you've been taught here at the seminary. Your professors have told you that. You've heard that again and again at your call service. You were reminded of that glorious gospel you proclaim. You heard it again this morning at the baccalaureate. Well, I would love to spend time talking also about that gospel of Jesus Christ. It seems to me that the commencement address is perhaps a good time to talk about something else, namely how to translate what it is that you have learned here at the seminary so that you can faithfully proclaim it to those God has placed under your care. In other words, how do you, who have been trained very specifically to be shepherds, how do you now go about the task of not training more shepherds, but of feeding the sheep? You do it quite simply by having the same mind as Christ Jesus, who said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." You will get to know your sheep in more ways than you can imagine. You'll experience with them the highest heights and the lowest lows. You'll know their hopes and dreams, their heartaches and disappointments, and even their dirty little secrets. It's going to take some effort to get to know your sheep. It'll take time as well to know who is related to whom, to know what street they live on, to know their workplaces and where they play. But you will get to know your sheep, and they will need to get to know you. They'll be curious about what makes you tick. They'll want to know your hopes and dreams, your strengths, and yes, your failures. Don't rob them or yourself of that relationship. Of course, you'll have to set limits so that your privacy and that of your families is respected. Yet you are their shepherd, and they want to know you as well as be known by you. God willing, they will learn to know you in an even more profound way. For as you proclaim the word of life to them, they will hear in your voice the voice of Jesus, their good shepherd. Your voice will be for them one of hope and comfort, of peace and assurance. Indeed, a voice of life. It's a voice they will long to hear both in times of gladness and in moments of sorrow. But first and foremost, it will be a voice that delivers to them the holy things of God. As you stand before them each Lord's Day, absolving, proclaiming the word of life, baptizing in the triune name, and dispensing the very body and blood of Jesus for forgiveness and life. Earlier I mentioned the challenge you will face as you now take all that you've learned and experienced here at the seminary and go out to apply it to the sheep whom God has placed under your care. Permit me a few moments to talk about how you're going to go about that task in just one facet of your ministry, worship. As one who is privileged to serve our Synod's Commission on Worship, I have the opportunity to think a lot about that topic. In fact, they pay me for it. My point is that your ministry is going to be shaped and formed by the attitude of Christ Jesus. And if it is, as one who knows the sheep and who also are known by the sheep, then how you shepherd your people week after week in worship will say much about how well you make this transition from the school for shepherds here at the seminary to that field of sheep God has placed under your care. Let me give just one example. When you arrive at your parish, you will find all kinds of traditions associated with worship in that place. Some of them will be salutary, others may not. For example, you may find that the hymnody sung in your new congregation contains a rather steady diet of the likes of Immortal, Invisible, Amazing Grace, and Heaven is My Home, each perhaps having its own place at one time or another. But after years of worshiping in this seminary, in this chapel, you know full well just how rich our Lutheran heritage is and what God has to offer through the hymnody and liturgies of our church. So what do you do? Do you make a clean break your first Sunday, throwing off the inferior hymnody and introducing such classics as We All Believe in One True God? Or using the imagery of the shepherd and sheep, do you tell your sheep, hey guys, the green pasture's over here, get moving? Or do you, the loving shepherd, go to your people where they are and bear with them as you gently and patiently introduce them to a rich fare that they may never have before tasted? It would be easy to say, this is how we did it at Cramer Chapel, and it worked well, it was great. But your congregation is not Cramer Chapel, nor is it St. Paul, Fort Wayne, or Zion, or Redeemer, or Ascension. It is its own unique place where God has placed you, and he has called you to serve his people in a unique time. Again and again, you will draw on what you have learned and experienced here at the seminary. And through patience, hard work, much prayer, and not a little tribulation, you will see movement among your sheep. Through your faithful proclamation, they will come to a fuller understanding and appreciation of the depth of God's mercy. And through the gentle leading that you provide, they will begin to acknowledge that there just may be different ways of doing things, not simply for the sake of change, but for their own edification and to the glory of God. So where will you find the patience to shepherd the flock with such gentleness? And will you be able to summon the courage to defend the flock against Satan's incessant assaults? There will be times when you yourself feel under attack, causing you to wonder if you're nothing more than a lost sheep. What will you do? The answer, of course, is to listen to the voice of the same shepherd whom you proclaim Sunday after Sunday. He is the one who laid down his life for you. Or borrowing from the imagery of Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 15, he is the shepherd who has sought you out, hoisted you on his shoulders, and carried you home. He has called you into his service, and he will sustain you. God's blessings as you now take up the staff and shepherd the flock. Thank you.